Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. I'm joined today by Professor Paddy Gunnigal and Dr. Jonathan Lavelle of the Work Knowledge and Employment Thematic Group at the Kemmy Business School. If I can start with you, Jonathan, your research is titled The Untold Story, Understanding the Multinational Sector in Ireland. Can you tell me a bit about the background to this research, please?
Yeah, our research is largely focused on various aspects of employment practices in multinational companies. So we've undertaken a number of different projects in this space, looking at HR and industrial relations policies, processes, practices within the multinational companies within Ireland and also internationally as well. So we've undertaken a number of different projects, including one project looking at US multinational companies and greenfield sites, which focused largely on industrial relations issues. That led to another project, a case study project looking at US multinational companies and their human resource management practices, largely looking at, you know, the implementation of HR practices in US multinational companies, foreign subsidiaries in Ireland. That was a comparative project. Another project that we've undertaken is largely under the title of Intrepid, which is, again, another international comparative project involving about 10 countries, broadly looking at employment practices within multinational companies, taking a representative survey of multinational companies operating in the Irish context. And another project, I suppose, that we've more recently been working on has been in relation to kind of the attraction and retention of foreign direct investment into Ireland, and particularly focusing on the impact that HR, industrial relations, labour market issues have on the attraction and retention of foreign direct investment. We've also been involved in other aspects of employment practices, looking at things like the impact of the global financial crisis, CRR contracts, which is quite topical at the moment.
And Paddy, if I can just bring you in at this point, why is this research important and why is this problem important on a national level?
Well, I suppose, obviously, Jonathan's talked about the issue of employment practices, but if you step back a little bit from that, there's a lot of debate about the whole issue of multinationals in the country, but there's not a lot of detail in some of the areas. For example, who are the multinationals? You know, if you ask that question, you know, people will ream off about five companies who are, generally speaking, American, either manufacturing or IT related companies. But there's a lot of nuances to the population. There's a lot of medium, small multinationals. There's a lot of multinationals who, you know, people talk about the tax issue, but a lot of multinationals are not major profit makers. So the issue of tax is less an issue for those companies. So as I said, at one level, there's more pride and greater nuances. Who are the multinationals? What are the sectors they're in? How is that sectoral profile changed over time and the like, and how might it change in the future? Other aspects, motivations, you know, why do multinationals come to Ireland? And people say, oh, they come because of tax, it's the default position. But it's, again, there's a more nuanced picture. You know, it's generally a variety of factors, and I'm not playing down the tax issue. The tax issue is obviously hugely important. But, you know, there are other countries that offer similar tax regime, whereas Ireland has performed proportionally better. So there's other issues at work. Sometimes there are issues to do with labour-related factors, labour supply, labour quality, flexibility, issues like that. And drawing out the nuances of that are important. And the other issue is the multinationals and their impact over time. For example, one of the mentions of our study was Irish multinationals. You know, people, you talk about multinational Ireland, people immediately default to foreign multinationals, mostly American. Yes, Irish multinationals are very significant players. And there's been quite significant growth in the multinational presence of abroad of Irish companies, such as Glanbia, the big co-ops, Paddy Power, companies like that. The banks have become less important proportionally. They used to be our major multinationals. So that's a different relationship, because often we talk Irish multinationals, we're talking about headquarters in Ireland and subsidiaries abroad. Whereas invariably when we're talking about foreign multinationals, we're talking about subsidiaries in Ireland and headquarters abroad. So the relationship you're studying is a different relationship, a headquarters to subsidiary as opposed to a subsidiary to headquarters relationship. And of course, it's the obvious point that, you know, why you study them. Well, they're hugely important in Ireland. I mean, depending on the metric you use, Ireland will come somewhere either the topmost globalised economy in the world or the second most globalised economy in the world, or if you look at some sites, the third most. But it's in the top three, more or less. So the multinational community and the multinational investment, it's hugely important. And there are pros and cons to that. I mean, obviously, the big con, and I don't want to go into detail, is the dependence on multinational. The pros are certainly, you know, you point to a lot of benefits, including the trickle down and their impact on the growth of Irish multinationals. A lot of the Irish multinationals that have become kind of global names, if you look at their managerial profile, a lot of those people have cut their teeth in foreign subsidiaries and garnered experience and the like.
So I think the importance of multinational involvement in Ireland is very clear. Do you have any concrete examples, Jonathan, of where your research has had an impact on the involvement of multinational companies in Ireland?
We would see our research having an impact across a broad range of headings. Firstly, I suppose, in particularly in the area of the HR IR profession in Ireland. So, for example, significant bodies in this space would include the likes of the CIPD, the state agencies like the Workplace Relations Commission, various trade union bodies. We know that our research has influenced and shaped their various policies towards HR IR issues. We know, for example, HR consultants regularly draw upon our research in their day-to-day work as well. And more broadly than the HR IR into the kind of more broad business area, I suppose the IDA Ireland, again, the body responsible for attracting foreign direct investment, would also draw upon a lot of our research, which Paddy has mentioned goes into a lot of detail around the attraction and retention of foreign direct investment. So we know that our research has impacted HR IR profession within the country. And I suppose bringing it down, I suppose, to the shop floor level, we know that, for example, within multinational companies themselves, we know that a lot of our research has also impacted on multinational companies' HR policies, practices and processes. You know, a lot of our research has allowed multinational companies to benchmark their HRIR practices against multinational companies from the same country or operating in the same sector or maybe in the same size category or whatever that might be. We know that our research has impacted on various innovations in workforce management where multinational companies have introduced new innovations in this space and impacts on issues around best practice, HR practices, best fit practices, and also they use our research as the basis for effecting change in HR policies and practices within their organisation. So we'd see our research impacting in that space as well. And I suppose more broadly than that as well, we've seen our research impact at government, at policy level as well. So for example, currently there's a lot of debate and discussion around zero-hour contracts and the like. So research that we've carried out, led by Dr. Michelle O'Sullivan and other colleagues in the Department of Personnel and Employment Relations, done a lot of research on this whole area of zero-hour contracts. And we know that currently there's a number of different bills on the go at the moment that are trying to deal with this particular issue. So we're likely to see some legislation introduced. The government have committed to introducing legislation in the near future, and that's largely based on a lot of the research that we've carried out. So we'd see our research having a very broad impact across not just the HRIR profession, but the general business community and also trade unions as well. A lot of our research would impact on trade unions' policies in relation to issues like trade union recognition and avoidance, collective bargaining, employee voice, dispute resolution bodies and the like.
If I can just ask you, Paddy, where do you see this research going in the future?
I guess, you know, one dimension would be the whole issue of changes in employment practice. I mean, traditionally, if you look at multinationals in the aided sectors, important to differentiate between multinationals in the aided sector, such as supported by IDA Ireland, and multinationals who are non-aided. The obvious ones would be in the retail and hospitality sectors, hotels, supermarkets. So if you look at multinationals in the aided sector, you know, traditionally they've been associated with relatively secure employment, relatively good terms and conditions of employment. But that's an area where there's a lot of ongoing change, particularly among IT companies and the like, the so-called gig economy. And, you know, that pattern of basically less secure employment and less flahulic, if I could use an Irish term, terms and conditions of employment. And there's a lot of issues, sub-themes developing there. For example, the whole notion of bogus self-employment, that people are on service contracts. And it's simply a way of basically providing people with less pay and less secure terms and conditions of employment. So, you know, to a degree, some multinationals have been a bulwark against that, and other multinationals have been probably prominent in promulgating that. For example, during the recession years, if you wanted to get a pay increase, our view was you were best likely to get a pay increase during the financial crisis if you worked in a large multinational company in the pharmaceutical or food and beverages sector. So, you know, that goes against some of the more modern debate around the more tenuous employment, as it were. At a bigger level, I talked about regard to the future is the population. I mean, Ireland is incredibly dependent on multinationals from the US. Whereas if you look at the growth of the global economy, there are vast tracts of the global economy that have made little or no impact on the multinational population in Ireland. For example, the population of China is paltry. India is paltry. South America, very incredibly low and the like. So, you know, it's really the US, Western Europe. It's from a small part of the world. Now, as we go forward, Ireland, you would imagine, would need to attract much more investment and much more interest from, you know, the three quarters of the world that we're not attracting investment from at the moment. And I think that's something we need to look carefully at. And that's despite, for example, the idea of Ireland having a very strong presence in China for almost 15 years now.
How do you see the future of multinational companies in Ireland going?
As Paddy mentioned, you know, we've described Ireland as one of the most MNC-dependent economies, countries in the world. And I don't think that's going to change in the medium future. So I think we're going to continue to attract in multinational investment. And I think, as Paddy mentioned, companies like the IDEA Ireland are doing a phenomenal job in influencing that. But the competition is going to get much greater, particularly with events like the election of Trump and some of the policies that he has been talking about, the whole issue of Brexit. So we've seen lots of international events happening, which potentially can impact on multinational investment in Ireland. But I think Ireland is in a very good place. It's got a very strong track record. We've been in this game for a very long time now. So we've got a very strong track record in this. It's no doubt it's got very, very competitive. But I think we'll continue to attract in multinational investment. As Paddy mentioned, I think there is a much greater effort now in terms of trying to attract in investment from particularly countries like China and the like, where we've seen lots of growth of outward foreign direct investment from those particular economies. I think multinational companies are here to stay. It's going to become much more competitive, but I think Ireland is in a good place, has got a good offering, and I think we'll continue to be competitive in this space.
The issue of mobility is a big issue, and it's probably not always as well understood. You know, how mobile are foreign investments? You know, with commentaries with Brexit, people say, oh, you'll see a flight. But often foreign direct investment is not that mobile. If you take, for example, sectors like the pharma sector or some of the IT sector, a company locally like an Analog or the like, they have some flexibility, but it's not huge because they have a huge investment in plant and equipment and technology. So it can take a while for mobility. It's not something that you can up sticks and leave. Now, I'm not saying that can't happen. If you look at TalkTalk in Waterford, for example, a call center, that was literally an up sticks and leave example. But that was plugs out of the wall, literally. There was very little investment in technology and equipment and process and the like. And if you go to certain sectors like the chemical sector, for example, not only are they not that mobile in terms of plant and equipment, but regulatory regimes and environmental regimes will restrict mobility. So you can't say, oh, we're going to Germany, because the whole regulatory regime will change and you've got to start at point one. So sometimes multinationals are not as mobile as they might be, and any changes will be, I think, gradual rather than dramatic. But I do think that with the Brexit, as Jonathan alluded to, I think there has been a sense that investment's on hold, that basically multinationals to a degree are playing their cards relatively close to their chest. They're not saying we're going or nothing like, but they're waiting to see how things pan out. The financial services sector is that it could benefit or could potentially lose. Being on the inside or outside of the European Union, being on the inside or outside of trade with Britain is a huge dilemma. But I think that issue of mobility is an important area for future analysis.
I think it's clear from that there's a lot of challenges for the future for multinational companies in Ireland. I wonder if I could just step back in time maybe a little bit to ask you, Jonathan, first, what motivated you to get involved in this particular area of research?
I suppose, again, it's a point that we've probably made on a number of occasions already. You know, Ireland is the most multinational company dependent country probably in the world. So we're all very familiar with multinational companies. So I suppose my interest was largely sparked by, you know, this dependency on multinational companies, and particularly my interest in HR and industrial relations issues. And I suppose that led me into this space of broadly looking at employment practices in multinational companies and their HRIR practices. So I suppose I initially started studying in UL, done my undergraduate degree, done my postgraduate qualifications here, and got involved in a number of research projects in this space, working with the likes of Professor Paddy Gunnigal, and got involved in a number of international projects as well. So it's largely been, you know, driven by my interest in multinational companies, their HRIR practices, and I suppose that I find them fascinating. They're very, very interesting. You know, they're big, powerful, significant organizations and have huge influence. You know, and you can look at multinational companies from a number of different angles. And I suppose that's where my interest was generated, you know, and I've been lucky in that I've been facilitated to being able to pursue those interests by being here in UL and being part of kind of larger international projects as well.
If I can just ask you the same question, Paddy, just on a personal level, what motivates you to stay involved in this area of research?
To stay involved and get involved, I suppose there's two different factors. To get involved, I mean, my background came from more industrial sociology, and my initial work was on trade union recognition and avoidance in the period of the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. And that led me into the multinational issue because clearly there's, you know, in terms of union recognition and avoidance, organizations can avoid unions through pretty offensive means, you know, threats and the like, or they can avoid unions through kind of a commitment regime of better pay, better conditions of employment. So you essentially remove, there's two ways of keeping unions out. You offensively keep them out, or you keep them out by removing an agenda. And if people are on decent pay, conditions of employment, like, it tends to remove the union agenda. You know, what can unions do for us, famously, as Monty Python would have said. You know, in companies that pay well, provide good conditions of employment, probably little they can do for them, but obviously unions can do a lot for employees who don't operate. So that's what took me into that area in looking at multinationals, because the major kind of sector that union avoidance was taking place in a wide place was in the multinational sector. So that's what dragged me in there. And then I became involved with a lot of the top scholars in the field, to be honest, who took a bit of interest in what was happening in Ireland, British colleagues initially, but the Australian, Canadian, Spanish colleagues subsequently, to a degree, took us into comparative behaviour. And we had studied American multinationals in Europe. Did multinationals behave differently, looking at the same corporations? So same corporation in Germany, in Spain, in Britain and in Ireland, and looking at how those subsidiaries managed employment relations and managed their general workforce. So that took me into the comparative sphere, and that's the sphere that Jonathan's just talked about.
You've been listening to Professor Paddy Gunnigal and Dr. Jonathan Lavelle. This research is kindly supported by the European Commission, Irish Research Council, Workplace Relations Commission, Department of Jobs, Enterprise and Innovation, and the Research Councils of the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia and Spain. If you would like to find out more about a research impact at the University of Limerick, go to our website, ul.ie/researchimpact.